Seventh principle. The proper role of government is to protect equal rights, not provide equal things. In Europe, during the days of the founders, it was very popular to proclaim that the role of government was to take from the haves and give to the have-nots, so that all might be truly equal. However, the American founders perceived that this proposition contained a huge fallacy. What powers can be assigned to government? The founders recognized that the people cannot delegate to their government the power to do anything except that which they have the lawful right to do themselves. For example, every person is entitled to protection of his life and property. Therefore, it is perfectly legitimate to delegate to the government the task of setting up a police force to protect the lives and property of all the people. But suppose a kind-hearted man saw that one of his neighbors had two cars, while another neighbor had none. What would happen if, in the spirit of benevolence, the kind man went over and took one of the cars from his prosperous neighbor and generously gave it to the neighbor in need? Obviously, he would be arrested for car theft. No matter how kind his intentions, he is guilty of flagrantly violating the natural rights of his prosperous neighbor, who is entitled to be protected in his property. Of course, the two-car neighbor could donate a car to his poor neighbor if he liked, but that is his decision, and not the prerogative of a kind-hearted neighbor who wants to play Robin Hood. How governments sometimes commit legal crimes. But suppose the kind-hearted man decided to ask the mayor and city council to force the man with two cars to give one to his pedestrian neighbor. Does that make it any more legitimate? Obviously, this makes it even worse, because if the mayor and city council do it in the name of the law, the man who has lost his car has not only lost the rights to his property, but since it is the law, he has lost all right to appeal for help in protecting his property. The American founders recognized that the moment the government is authorized to start leveling the material possessions of the rich in order to have an equal distribution of goods, the government thereafter has the power to deprive any of the people of their equal rights to enjoy their lives, liberties, and property. A popular fallacy. Those on the receiving end of the program may think this is very just, to take from the haves and give to the have-nots. They may say, this is the way the government provides equal justice for all. But what happens when the government comes around and starts taking from those who count themselves poor? They immediately declare with indignation that they have rights in the property the government gave them. The government replies, "We decide who has rights in things." The power given to the government to take from the rich automatically canceled out the principle of guaranteed equal rights. It opened the floodgate for the government to meddle with everybody's rights, particularly property rights. A lesson from communism. When the communists seized power in Hungary, the peasants were delighted with the justice of having the large farms confiscated from their owners and given to the peasants. Later, the communist leaders seized 3/4 of the peasant land and took it back to set up government communal farms. Immediately, the peasants howled in protest about their property rights. Those who protested too loudly or too long soon found that they not only lost their land, but also their liberty. If they continued to protest, they lost their lives. Equal rights doctrine protects the freedom to prosper. The American founders took a different approach. Their policy was to guarantee the equal protection of all the people's rights, and thus ensure that all would have the freedom to prosper. There was to be no special penalty for getting rich. The French philosophers cried out in protest, But then some of the people will become very rich. Indeed they will, the founders might have responded. The more the better. In fact, it was soon discovered that the new industrial age required large quantities of private funds in order to build factories, purchase complicated machinery and tools, and provide millions of jobs which had never before existed. The founders felt that America would become a nation dominated by the prosperous middle class, with a few people becoming rich. As for the poor, the important thing to ensure was the freedom to prosper, so that no one would be locked into the poverty level the way people have been in all other parts of the world. Making the whole nation prosperous. It was realized, of course, that some would prosper more than others. That is inevitable as long as there is liberty. Some would prosper because of talent, some because of good fortune, some because of an inheritance, but most would prosper because of hard work. The entire American concept of freedom to prosper was based on the belief that man's instinctive will to succeed in a climate of liberty would result in the whole people prospering together. It was thought that even the poor could lift themselves through education and individual effort to become independent and self-sufficient. The idea was to maximize prosperity, minimize poverty, and make the whole nation rich. Where people suffered the loss of their crops or became unemployed, the more fortunate were there to help, and those who were enjoying good times were encouraged to save up in store for the misfortunes which seemed to come to everybody someday. Hard work, frugality, thrift, and compassion became the key words in the American ethic. Why the founders made European theories unconstitutional? What happened in America under these principles was remarkable in every way. Within a short time, the Americans, as a people, were on the way to becoming the most prosperous and best-educated nation in the world, which was amazing to de Tocqueville when he arrived in 1831. They were also the freest people in the world. Eventually, the world found that they were also the most generous people on earth. And all this was not because they were Americans. The founders believed these same principles would work for any nation. The key was using the government to protect equal rights, not to provide equal things. As previously mentioned, Samuel Adams said the ideas of a welfare state were made unconstitutional. Quote, "The utopian schemes of leveling, redistribution of the wealth, and a community of goods, central ownership of all the means of production and distribution, are as visionary and impractical as those which vest all property in the crown. These ideas are arbitrary, despotic, and in our government, unconstitutional." End of quote. Nevertheless, the founders had a deep concern for the poor and needy. As mentioned earlier, disciples of the collectivist left in the founders' day, as well as our own, have insisted that compassion for the poor requires that the federal government become involved in taking from the haves and giving to the have-nots. Benjamin Franklin had been one of the have-nots, and after living several years in England where he saw government welfare programs in operation, he had considerable to say about these public charities of counterproductive compassion. Franklin wrote a whole essay on the subject and told one of his friends, "I have long been of your opinion that your legal provision for the poor in England is a very great evil, operating as it does to the encouragement of idleness. We have followed your example, and begin now to see our error, and I hope shall reform it." A survey of Franklin's views on counterproductive compassion might be summarized as follows. 1. Compassion which gives a drunk the means to increase his drunkenness is counterproductive. 2. Compassion which breeds debilitating dependency and weakness is counterproductive. 3. Compassion which blunts the desire or necessity to work for a living is counterproductive. 4. Compassion which smothers the instinct to strive and excel is counterproductive. Nevertheless, the founders recognize that it is a mandate of God to help the poor and underprivileged. It is interesting how they said this should be done. The founders' formula for calculated compassion. Franklin wrote, quote, "To relieve the misfortunes of our fellow creatures is concurring with the deity. It is godlike. But if we provide encouragement for laziness and supports for folly, may we not be found fighting against the order of God and nature, which perhaps has appointed want and misery as the proper punishments for and cautions against, as well as necessary consequences of idleness and extravagance? Whenever we attempt to amend the scheme of providence and to interfere with the government of the world, we had need be very circumspect, lest we do more harm than good." End of quote. Nearly all of the founders seem to have acquired deep convictions that assisting those in need had to be done through means which might be called calculated compassion. Highlights from their writings suggest the following. 1. Do not help the needy completely. Merely help them to help themselves. 2. Give the poor the satisfaction of earned achievement instead of rewarding them without achievement. 3. Allow the poor to climb the appreciation ladder from tents to cabins, cabins to cottages, cottages to comfortable houses. 4. Where emergency help is provided, do not prolong it to the point where it becomes habitual. 5. Strictly enforce the scale of fixed responsibility. The first and foremost level of responsibility is with the individual himself. The second level is the family. Then the church. Next, the community. Finally, the county. And, in a disaster or emergency, the state. Under no circumstances is the federal government to become involved in public welfare. The founders felt it would corrupt the government and also the poor. No constitutional authority exists for the federal government to participate in charity or welfare. Motives of the founders. By excluding the national government from intervening in the local affairs of the people, the founders felt they were protecting the inalienable rights of the people from abuse by an over-aggressive government. But just what are inalienable rights? This brings us to our next principle.